Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew, and I want to welcome back to the show the one and only Wayne Steiger. Wayne, how you doing tonight?
Doing fine. Chris, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very good.
And excellent.
A lot going on right now. Weather's going mad. I have not seen so many crazy storms and flooding in my life before. The amount of volcanoes that are erupting are as well.
Seems like the earth is, doing a dance with us. It's the best way I know how to put it.
Definitely. But we haven't had you on our program in a while. And for those who may not know you, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit about your background and, what got you started on your current path?
that's a story itself. I've taken the path of a philosopher, and, my life has been here 23,000 days, so a little more. It's been a far out adventure. I've had a chance to do a lot of different things. And the great thing about the older we get to be, that's the thing that we never look at. We're such a youth-orientated culture that the great thing about getting older is that you find out that you really never grow old. And two, you have the ability of being able to witness more time, history. And so for my life, it has been one that has always, in one form or another, always been in pursuit of knowledge. I've been what they would call a serial entrepreneur. Been involved in technology for well over 35 years, and was at one time even an ordained minister, although I do not worship in that religion anymore. And in fact, I don't partake in any religion anymore. I advise most people not to as well. And, that journey of, in fact, I did a radio interview today, up in Canada, and I was telling the host that the interesting thing is, for me, when I came out from under the God spell, and that's what I call it, you don't have any more safety nets. So you don't have a religion that basically provides that safety net, where you don't really have to think about what is awaiting all of us, and that's death. It's and people don't like to think about it. I think about it quite often, because when you think about that moment that it comes, where do you stand? And, it's taken me, 6-7 years to get to this point where I'm at. And the more you find out, the more aware you become, the more aware you realize that I don't think anyone has it figured out. And that makes it a conundrum for our existence here. For instance, I'll give you an example. The reality that we define as reality is one that we all share. However, it's not one that we all experience. And by that, I cannot experience what Chris experiences. We could go to an event, let's say a movie, and both watch the movie and come out, and no matter what the experience was, well, in other words, it was a sudden jolt, a surprise, whatever, each of us react to it differently. And that really, I think, where I'm at my point in life, I think I've really discovered what the secret to life is. So once you have that figured out, then it really becomes fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess so. And, I hope you can share a little bit about that secret of life with us.
Sure.
People would like to know about that.
I'll tell everyone, you don't need a religion. You don't need, you really don't need a belief system other than the belief of yourself. And what it really comes down to, Chris, is this. No matter how you want to slice it and dice it, back in the day, they used to have the slice-o-matic. you know. And I don't know if anyone remembers the very early days of Saturday Night Live, but when Dan Aykroyd would get up there with John Belushi and do that act, it was just hilarious. My point is, no matter how and what perspective you look at this, when you examine it, here is reality. You come in to death, and that's really what the birth process is. It's a rite of passage. Most people don't really stop and consider that. It has far-reaching implications even into the next life. We're born into a death system. Now, I don't know why that is, but apparently, in order for us to move on, you have to go through this initiation process called birth. And I've titled it the passage of the birthright. And that is by vaginal birth. When you come in, my wife, who is a nurse and has been a nurse for nearly 40 years, as she describes it to me, the physical birth process, and I'm going to tell you why we're born into death, and it changes your whole perspective, is that because no human being can survive it. It's a one-time shot. And as she tells me, the pain is so intense, guess what I theorize it does? It sears our consciousness to where we never can remember that pain again. People are afraid of the fear of the pain of death. And actually, it's going to be a surprise to all of us that you're going to find out it's joyous. The birth process comes in is one time only. And here's the thing. The minute you are born, you're 1 second closer to actually dying in this realm, which really that when we die, it's really the entrance to the birth of life. So the secret of life is this. It's you. You're born into this world by yourself. No gods, no other thing watching. You are on your own. And I tell people, ever watch your own son or daughter's birth? You know what? We're all around it, but when it gets right down to it, it's that sovereign, sentient, divine being that's coming into this reality. It's all on theirs. And I'll tell you how traumatic it is. Watch any newborn. We have a granddaughter. Was in there, had a little struggle to begin with. But it takes the average newborn about a month to recover from the birth process. Think about that.
Right.
So, yeah. And we're taught differently. We're taught that, you know, somehow we're born into sin. What the hell does that mean? You know, when you step back and you look at us as a species, Homo sapiens sapiens, we're right in the midst of a new evolutionary jump. We're seeing it right now. The fact is, and I tell people, I'll just be very straight with your audience. So think about this. We as a species, we believe in make-believe. In fact, we believe in it so much we make a religion out of it. And here's what I challenge any person. People say, well, you're anti-religion. Yeah, I am. And then they say, well, are you an atheist? No, I'm anti-theist. That's a clear difference. I don't deny that any of these world gods exist, because if you have people believing in it, it exists, if nothing more than within their own minds. So what I challenge people is this. Why is it that we laugh and amuse our children who believe in imaginary make-believe characters, and as they grow older in life, we rebuke them and we tell them that you need to put away those imaginary characters, but what we actually do is replace it with a god. As I tell people, show me the last time a god has ever manifested on this planet. Show me any god that has manifested. None have. In fact, I'm going to be on to my Mars show on Sunday morning show, is that I'm going to be talking about the fact is, I'll tell you how deceived we are as a species. When's the last time a God wrote a letter? When's the last time a God sent any message to mankind? Thousands and thousands of years. What species in its right sane mind would try to begin to hold on to something that, number one, no one can really show that it exists, the originals, not even within the Vatican. So if you can't show that it actually exists, but yet you believe in it, but that is supposed to be something that is so sacred, you would think that a God would know how to communicate to a 21st century mind. Right. And here's the conundrum, Chris, is yep. that we spend our lifetime. You get into this thing, and I know I was in it for 50 years, and you read this book over and over and over again, and you're trying to wrap yourself into this fact of what were they talking about, even if this thing happened in the first century? What relevancy do I have in something 2,000 years ago? Where is this God? Shouldn't he be writing us a letter today, explaining to us the perils of the internet, maybe, or something else, AI? Dear mankind, watch your ass. You're about to screw up.
Right, exactly. And it seems like the communication with these gods or deities just did stop at some point in history. It makes you wonder what stopped it, you know.
What did stop it? Let me tell you something. I have my own hypothesis to why there is no such thing. Now, I do believe in something that's higher than man's concept of God, because any concept of God that we have is fashioned after our own ego. As I challenge people all the time, is God a Christian? Is God a Jew? Is God a Muslim? Is God a Buddhist? And why would God want to have worshipers? Why create a life form and then say, well, I created you to worship me? Why? You know, I tell people, I don't like any of these gods. I haven't met one that I particularly find that I'd want to be a friend with. And, you know, so the conundrum that we get into, we try to figure out what these people were thinking in 2,000 years. You can't do it. You can't.
No.
You have the greatest mind coitus of all time. That's why the religion is always a religion of division. There's no unity in religion at all. And maybe someday our species will grow up. Could you imagine the aliens that are observing us? We know that they've been here for nearly 147 years observing us. But here's the thing. They got to say that we are bat crap crazy.
Now, how long did you say that they've been observing us, Wayne?
Well, according to the Rose document that, you know, and these are by the first people coming out of the Truman administration, that apparently their first contact of understand, they have a date that they said they've been here for about back then was about 110, 112 years, if you add the time, about 147 years observing us, if that's true. Who knows?
Yeah, if that's true, exactly.
You know, Majestic 12, who knows what the story is? I haven't met an ET, so I can't say right. if they exist.
Now, this is going to bring us into our first topic. Now, I always believe to find out where we're going, we need to know what happened to us in the past. And we know that we've been through multiple cataclysms throughout history. But you know, a question I like to ask many of my guests is, where did we come from in the beginning? Where did we come from to begin with? Were we originally from this earth? Were we seeded here? Were we helped along? Did we evolve from the smallest organism or a fish? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I'll tell you where I think we, if you want to say evolved, and I think that that may be a correct word, a term, no one in their theology, their ideologies, ever stop and consider that planet that's between us and Mars. No one ever considers it.
Right.
Now, there have been writings, there have been some, you know, I guess people attempting to do it. And I applaud that because I think that there needs to be more study. What was this planet? And by the way, it is where this planet is in the asteroid belt would be the perfect zone for our kind. The Earth is actually very hostile to our species. Now, we've been here long enough that through DNA mutation, and that's what it is, it's mutation, our bodies have begun to adapt. Now, people challenge me on this, and I push right back. I said, all right, then tell me, what the hell is your tonsils for? What the hell is your appendix for? Hey, you want to know? You see, people say, well, I believe that God created this and this. Well, you can believe whatever you want, but I'm just telling you the evidence. Look at your little toe. It's disappearing. Why? It's so many other things with our physiology that we're constantly adapting to this environment. And Earth in itself, where we are with the sun right now, the sun is a very hostile body for us right now. Extremely hostile. So I say that if you begin to think about what could have been, whatever caused this cataclysm, which I think we're still in, I still contend that we are still in the midst of this slow unfolding train wreck of, I believe, our original galaxy that Earth was a part of, which was the Sagittarius dwarf ecliptical galaxy, which is in collision right now, has been in collision for the last 4, 5, 10 million years. And when we think about galactic collisions, we're right now in what they was classic Kenny Loggins, you know, in the danger zone. I think we're in a very dangerous, dangerous time. This debris field that we are getting still swept up in, whatever happened for what they call the stacked up effect, that's what they call the phenomenon that destroyed whatever that was between us and Mars, was that somehow or another, the planets except Venus came in and almost like a sudden stopped.
Now you're talking about what some call Tiamat?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, go ahead.
Well, it's just becoming ever so much clearer that, you know, and people challenge all the time. They say, well, you know, listen, science says this. Let me tell you about science. Science is not written in stone. Science is an evolving thing. We don't know all the science. In fact, we know very little. So, yeah.
So what do you think about the theory that we could have been maybe helped along a little with maybe some kind of off-world genetic engineering?
Well, and it's a crazy theory, and there's people that, and I hitch my wagon up to this one, that the moon, I think, is really what brought us here. I don't think that that's a natural satellite. We know it's not.
Yeah.
It's hollow. We know that. I had the privilege of, you know, having probably one of the last conversations with Gene Cernan. And, you know, when you're in 2 hours on a flight, it's quite fascinating what we covered. So we got this artificial object up there. It still defies no one. No one has been adequately able to explain to me how that object is up there by gravity. It has no rotational spin. So yeah. Someone's trying to give me this cockamamie story that it's in that perfect equilibrium between Earth and the sun.
Yeah, it's locked, a gravity lock or some.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's just a theory.
Right.
It's not science. Listen, gravity is a theory.
Exactly.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So do you think, as a species, now there's a lot going on with us as a species. I've observed there is a large portion of us evolving, but there's also a large portion of us kind of going the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think we're going? Where do you see us in the next few years?
Well, as I contend, we're in the midst of a transmutation. And we're seeing the evolution of transhumanism become a reality. We're now seeing that the technology is here, that the transference of consciousness, they're in beta experiments. They're dealing with people that have terminal ailments, and they're in the labs practicing, seeing what happened. And when they make the breakthrough, and I do say that they will make that breakthrough where you're going to actually be able to jack the consciousness, and that's the holy grail right now, is to capture your consciousness into a machine. And you think about it, you know, this has been man's evolution for the last 6,500 years of written records. Man has always made machines to ease the burden of this planet. And that has been our evolution, when we've actually evolved very little socially, culturally. When you see what we've done with the machines, we've made huge advancements. And now we're seeing the transcendence of a whole new species. Now, I don't know if it's going to be the genus that's going to be Homo techno sapien. I don't know. But I know that that's where we're going. Now, let's talk about what's happening to us genetically. You know, we've entered into what scientists called June 1st, that the Earth entered into a new epoch. And it is the epoch of cosmic rays. We've entered in to either a time of our sun, a region of interstellar space, because remember, the sun is moving at 550,000 miles an hour. The Earth is moving at 168,000 miles an hour. We're moving in a helical trajectory. We're not on a flat plane. People get this crazy cockamamie idea that we're somehow or another on a flat plane. No, we're hurtling through interstellar space that we've never been in before. And when you begin to think that much motion, that much kinetic energy, well, there's no wonder that we're still being in awe of what we see even happening to our planets. And so when we talk about genetic jumping, we're witnessing that right now. When you begin to see a spike in the cosmic rays, these are gamma rays that come down into the stratosphere, all the way down into the ionosphere, typically is where they would disperse. They would hit atoms, and then atoms in turn would cascade different particles. The problem is they're getting all the way down now to the troposphere. That isn't good. This is not good for you. It's not good for me. It's not good for living things. And what's happening is that when we start seeing these neutrinos, these heavy particles, such as iron, copper, as they begin to hit the particles into our DNA, it's shattering it. So for a person like of my age, I'm not going to have children anymore. It can't do any harm to me because next 25 years, I'll be 85 years old. Now, if you're in your 30s, 20s, teens, younger, this is not good news for our species at all. And I'll tell you this, and we're already seeing this by the increase of childhood cancers. I mean, we're finding new cancers now. And it seems like no sooner do we seem to be able to solve one, there's five or six more coming in. Where is this coming from? Well, it can't all be environmental. There has to be something else.
I mean, with the food that they're feeding us with all the GMOs and then the crap they're spraying in the air, there's no wonder, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's just be honest. This is, and you know, we all like to be positive. We all like to be upbeat. Get it, get it, get it. But the fact is that you're seeing a train wreck with a species. In the westernized world, what we now are feeding people is nothing different than the old Charlton Heston movie, Soylent Green. Now, if you remember in that movie, they were eating people. They were taking dead people and reprocessing it into a protein bar. And when you look at the food systems now, so the GMOs, already people keep saying, well, I'm going to go completely organic and GMO free. Good luck with that, because it's been in the system now for nearly 20 years. And we're seeing the effects of that. When you see obesity, you see men now in their late 20s, early 30s, beginning to have beer bellies that begin to extend out the areas of their body, which is nothing more than death. That's all it is. And then you become diabetic, then you become high blood pressure, and the list just goes on and on and on. It's a messed up reality. I did a video over on my channel, and the premise of the video was this. Is it just here on Earth, or is it everywhere in the universe, this insane reality that we're born in? Because, you know, here's the crazy thing, Chris, think about this. When you are born into debt. Do you know the average cost for a child in the United States is $5,000 starting? So you're already into the hole. And the rest of your life is that you're going to be doing this, working. You have to work. You have to be able to pay your taxes. And in order for you to get anything, you're going to have to basically work yourself to death. And along that journey, you're supposed to be learning whatever it is you're supposed to be learning. It's a messed up system. It cost you to die. Now, you personally, no. But it's like when you're born and it's like when you go out. It's going to cost somebody something for you. Now, that's a messed up reality.
Oh, yeah, it is. And I wanted to get into something you had mentioned. You'd mentioned we're traveling through an area with more cosmic rays, and there is a lot going on our Earth right now. Let's talk about these effects. What's behind this? Is it just cosmic? Is it just the section of space we're traveling through, or is there more to it? Is there more that we're traveling through than just, more cosmic rays?
Well, I think number one, we have to bust the illusion that we live in a very stable, predictable solar system. We do not. We know from anyone go and check out the Thunderbolts Project, look at their symbols of an ancient, the alien sky. Our ancestors talked about a time when Saturn was the predominant light for the Earth, not this sun, Saturn. You know, I contend something came in. We have indeed amnesia. We don't know for sure, not even our science. All science has been based and predicated upon observation, starting back into the times when you began to have the first people peering through glass and looking at telescopes. We can go back as far as the Sumerians, where they were, and they saw a different sky than we did. You know, and people say, well, no, they didn't. Yes, they did. Number one, they didn't have the light pollution that we have today. And it's very evident that they were in a different quadrant of space of what we're seeing. Now, people will say, but wait a minute. You know, we see the same thing with Polaris. We have stars that we can have. Yeah, but that gets to be kind of weird too. Being, again, when you think about the fact that we're, again, the helical movement, not this way, going in a space in a straight line, but this way, it begins to add up. I mean, who knows? We don't know what space is waiting for us.
Right.
Now, Dr. Claudia Albers theorizes.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was gonna talk to you about Dr. Claudia.
With stellar cores.
Right.
Now, I want to set the record straight with many people that are very ignorant about what physicists do. Your science that you happen to believe in is the product of a physicist theorizing decades ago, could have been even 100 years ago. That's why they are what they do. We want theoretical physicists, particle physicists, astrophysicists. Why? Because they're the ones that go out and say, well, now, wait a minute. Listen, we still can't get Einstein's standard model to work. We can't find the unified theory. Something else is wrong. Einstein looked at the universe as a causality of the Newtonian theory of gravity. Well, we know now that that's wrong. We know that the universe is, in fact, electric. Different principles, different laws of physics apply. So think about this. Think about, and this is my hypothesis, taking Dr. Auber's stellar core theory, is this. We are in the midst of this huge galactic train wreck. We're still seeing the impacts of objects, the great kinetic energy of objects flying. We know within 5-10 light years that we're seeing stars that are dying, red dwarfs, brown dwarfs. We're seeing more and more that near-Earth objects, sometimes we only have an hour warning.
Exactly.
And the point is this. We don't know everything that we think we know. And when you think about the theory of stellar cores, why wouldn't a mass that was a star that had the energy components and we're talking on a particle basis.
Now, for those who may not know, kind of give us a little bit about what the stellar core is.
Yeah, it's remnants of suns, stars.
Right, okay.
Now, I'll share this with your audience. Do you know that the light that we're getting off of our sun right now, do you know how old that light is? It was produced 173,000 years ago. It's taken it that long to traverse up through the core of the sun to get to the coronosphere. Now think about this. 173,000 years ago, this light today, we didn't have records, Chris. We don't know what happened to us. We don't know who us was. It gets pretty weird when you think this. So we see stars all the time going supernova. We know this. We know when we almost got ourselves fried. I believe it was in the 60s when the nearest gamma ray almost hit us. Now, if we're ever in the direct path of the direct gamma ray from a dying star, it's lights out, baby. I mean, all of us will see a bright light and it's gone. So this is what we're talking about, not that intensity. I did a show last night on my channel. There is a binary star system about 5,000 light years away that is aiming at us. It's binary star as it comes around. It's shooting at us gamma rays, cosmic rays. So with the magnetopause of Earth, now less than, I think it's 7%. If you look at it to where we should be at 100%, we're now really weak. It's just let the floodgate in to these particles coming in. So, stellar cores. When we begin to think of spheres, everything in the universe is a sphere on celestial objects. I don't know why. It seems to be universal. You know, when we talk about energy condensing upon itself, I still contend that there's energy we don't know about. So this is Claudia's theory that what we're seeing here is not a what they call a cavitation, but what in fact is that there are objects actually coming in there that are producing that. Now, I understand it's a radical theory, but I happen to think that she may have some science behind this.
Now, can you see my screen here?
I can.
Now, we have a lot of people watching the sun in our group, and someone caught this. This was in June. And this is not a flare. This really looks like an object that was attached to the sun. Now, was this what a stellar core looks like?
Yes.
Okay.
I have something. Let me show your audience something that they may find interesting.
Sure.
Let me go and give me 1 second. I'll let you talk. I have something here that I think that you might find quite fascinating, and I just have to go through my files and find it. I actually captured an object that next to our sun that defies any, well, I haven't ever found anyone that's given a good explanation of it. So give me 1 second here. I'm going to see if I can actually pull it up for you, because when you see it, it's quite fascinating.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so
these stellar cores, now would they only be going to be attracted to the sun, or could they possibly come close to the Earth? I know I've heard you and Claudia talk about this before. I believe I've heard her say that they can come very close to the Earth.
Well, all right, so I'm going to show this. I actually have the video, but I did the stills on this because it's a very long video. I'll share this with your audience. I can't do that yet. Hold on 1 second. The one thing I don't like about Zoom is that you have to have it launched into a separate screen. There we go. So this was captured from the ISS, in which I do believe now that this is one of Claudia's, Dr. Albers' stellar cores. This is, well, you can see I have a number of stills of this, and you'll actually see this is an object right here. This was captured off the International Space Station, and look at that.
That is an object.
It is an object. Let me go back so you can get your orientation. Here we go, and I'll just start spanning through these.
Now that is enormous.
It's huge.
And what are those? Is that some kind of
you seeing it? It's rotating.
Beam or something? Yes, I see that.
Yeah, we're aiming a beam at it, and it's actually shooting off these beams. It's huge.
Some kind of plasma beam or something?
Well, yeah, I got the distinct feeling that it's huge. This is the core.
That is enormous.
Here it is in the natural light. There's how it was when we recorded it right off the ISS. And there in the different light filters, you can actually now see them.
Now that filament kind of looks like what you see get attached to the sun at times.
Mm-hmm. And you can see how far this object really goes out. And the core of it was over here. Here's another light filter, as you can see, clear distinction. These are actually rotating beams. It's only when you actually see them, you see them rotate?
Yeah. I see it.
And here is another light spectrum. You see how they rotate around?
Yes. It looks like it has kind of a gaseous cloud around it.
Mm-hmm. Stripes.
Stripes. Wow.
It's here. Whatever this is. They won't show it anymore, but there you go. You can see it.
Yeah,
amazing, isn't it?
That is amazing. That is enormous.
And this here, the reason why I put it into this in the X-ray is that it's huge. Whatever this is, it's huge. And you can see the photons coming off of this object. Amazing, isn't it?
That is amazing.
And when this thing visited us, this was about 2 years ago, I was in awe. I mean, it was like, okay, everyone, did y'all see that? So, yeah. Now, I have more. Let me show you the object that I have often wondered about. And you have to give me a second. I have, here's one for everyone.
It just makes you wonder what kind of effects these are pulling on Earth when they're getting that close.
Well, here's another strange day that I recorded. And I'll share this one with you. I call this the magenta object when it moved through. We were in a huge, look at this. That's the sun.
Yeah.
And this is not a filter. Is that wild?
Wow.
This was what was in the front. Okay. At the same time, this was what they were showing in the back. And here is the date. You can actually see the website that it was coming off of. I mean, tell me what is happening here. I've looked at this, analyzed it. It impacts everything. Everything is colored in this light spectrum.
Yeah, and I've seen that a lot from the ISS. Quite a few times when just random checks there, it'll be lit up purple. The Earth will be lit up purple.
And here's this UFO that was captured. You can actually see it.
Wow.
And I'll just go back for everyone.
Yep.
Coming right up over the horizon. It was a big sucker. And now it's, so again, why are we getting these type of anomalies? I don't know. I can show you the time when we saw a second sun. That's one of the weird things. You know, let me pull this other video up.
The second sun thing is so crazy nowadays. Talk of sun simulators and it's just hard to tell what's going on up there.
It is.
Just pictures of lens flares. You can't, I do get a lot of interesting pictures. It's very hard to tell. But
I have a theory on this, by the way, as to what I think we're seeing in a lot of the cameras. And I think that quite literally what we are seeing is because of the light of different objects coming in, we're getting combinations of refraction and reflection bouncing off of the atmosphere, which makes it very difficult for many times capturing very strange anomalies.
And our sunlight just doesn't seem normal. It's, first of all, it's not the right color. It hasn't been the right color for years. And it's not the right shape. When you take
it's damn hot, too. So here's the one that has always baffled me. This is the sun. I've got gigs and gigs and gigs of this. Same picture. But this day, the sun was emitting a smoke trail. And watch. Wow. Now, the sun should be going down this way. Okay. But watch what happens. It begins to, retrograde. And never could figure out why our sun would be actually burning.
Maybe technical difficulties with
what the hell is going on up there? Now, I've had people that work at a number of different companies that are in the space industry, right? Yeah. That they've looked at this and, lots of different theories is that maybe we actually captured a comet other than just the sun itself. These are the things that, boggle the imagination. Now I'll speed this up so you can see it. Oh, let me pull us back here again as he goes here. So you can now see it and it's got a clear smoke trail coming in behind it. And you can see this is the International Space Station. Look, and here's a camera right here filming the same thing. Yeah. So here they got a camera. They're very interested on it. I was interested about it. Everybody's interested about it because watch what happens to this thing. Now watch this.
I don't know about a comet that would just follow the sun like that. And the sun's got a giant beam.
And look at the halo.
Yeah.
The dark halo around this thing as it continues. Now, it acts like a sun because wait till you see what it does when it gets below the horizon. But again, the smoke trail, very defined.
Yeah.
Extremely defined. And it's doing the same characteristics. Now, excuse me, I'll back it up here. There we go. So watch this. This is that same object's light now emitting. Where did that come from?
Wow.
And as we continue to watch the light, as we see, and anyone can go up there and watch the sunrises and sunsets, this one acted very weird.
Now this just, it kind of makes you think about the sun simulation theory a little bit.
It does.
Maybe the smoke is, it got, something got busted on that thing and...
I don't know. Yeah. It's really weird. Now, I have one of these objects that I think you will find interesting when I can pull it up is next to the sun. I mean, we've captured what can only be identified as, well, they look to be non-natural occurring. I guess that's how I'll put that. So you have to give me a second here. I have it pulled up. It's just a matter of finding it.
Oh, that's no problem. Yeah, I got actually an interesting one today. I wish I had it downloaded on this computer. I saw the lens flare moving, but the secondary object next to the sun was there. It didn't move. It was very convincing, but then again, you know, it's hard to tell with these cell phone cameras. You know?
Well, this was not taken from, here's one of the pictures. I have a whole series, but this one I can just show you. How about that?
Oh, I've seen this one before. Yes.
Yep. Yep. It's
like a giant tack siphoning from the sun.
Yep. And actually, I'm trying to find the video. There's an intake valve here that's actually so. When I see these, what they call coronal cavitations, I'm thinking to myself, but wait a minute. This is causing what could only be considered a filament.
Yeah.
Coming directly off of the sun's coronosphere. What the hell is going on here? Then we have this one. It's emitting its own light.
Wow.
And then we have this one.
Oh, I have tons of those. I believe I've shared some of
them. Yeah, so we know something is up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something is definitely up there. And let's talk about the effects on Earth we're seeing right now. I mean, aside from Kilauea, the heat, we are setting records worldwide with heat right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just making you wonder how many more years can humans survive with these rising temperatures? But let's talk about that. The heat is amazing right now. Is that because our sun is reacting to these, you think?
Well, one of my favorite books, it's a great book. If anyone ever wants to get it, it's a very good scientific read. It's called The Flare Star. I am leaning to the side that it's not the heat we need to be worried about. Very well could be that we may be literally on the verge of the next ice age. And I say this because here's the thing. I think we're seeing the heat, and this is just me, is that because we're seeing the increased exposure to cosmic rays coming in. Cosmic rays are radiation, heat. There's a good example right there. We know that our star is weak. We know it's, I agree with Dr. Albers. I think this thing may be dying. Now, you know, the standard line with astrophysicists today is that our star is supposedly at the mid-age point, maybe a little bit older. But no matter what you look at it, it's still got another 4 or 5 billion years to go. Maybe. I mean, who's to say that that is a fact? Where do we have the records for this? We don't know this. We haven't been around for a billion years to know what our sun. There's another one. You see that there. Now, that's really interesting. And when's the date on that one, Chris?
Let's see. I know it's in June. Most of these, all of these that I took right here are all from June. I saw okay. So many of these in June.
So in June, here's the thing. We went. Okay, thank you. Very interesting on June the 12th. Now, if you look at my videos that I did on the cosmic rays that using the ACE satellite data, you see, this is very odd. Look at that. Now, we didn't have any, in the month of June, we did not have any solar flares. We had no solar filaments released. So what are we seeing here? You know, you're going to try to tell me that that is a cavitation?
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
The perfectly round.
Yeah, perfectly round. And look how the flare is in eloping it and
reacting to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you got your data as well. It's very clear. I appreciate people like Dr. Albers. You know, they look at what the rest of people see and they go, wait a minute. No, there's something else here. And it would answer a lot for me. Let me show you one that I had that, you know, I captured literally over my house, which to this day, I contend to anyone, you tell me that this is not a celestial object. And this is literally over my house, right there.
Now, I've seen that before as well.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I did it in every different light I could see. And look at that.
I've captured very similar things. It's kind of like it's surrounded in its own cloud.
Yeah.
You can't really see it because there's no, it's not emitting any light.
No. And if it wasn't for, now these were other cavitation, but this one here, I mean, I've captured a number of them. So what are we seeing here? Well, I contend, you can see whatever you want, but I contend that that is what Dr. Albers is talking as well, is a stellar core. Now, it would have all sorts of effects. It's like some have low magnetic fields. Others would have high intensity fields. We see this on ACE that anyone can go to Integrated Space Services and you can actually go. We can see this, how these objects could very well potentially react to Earth. I mean, it's not that far-fetched.
No, it's not. And I mean, we're definitely seeing some crazy things going on Earth.
Yeah.
Hawaii. Now, there's something interesting about the lava flow in Hawaii that it is actually flowing the opposite of our magnetic field, which kind of indicates that it's way from a previous pole reverse.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, in fact, what they are saying. 630,000 years old, that magma coming up.
Yeah.
I mean,
now that's very interesting that it's occurring at this time when there's, you know, been talk of recent magnetic pole reversal and such.
Yes. Yes. And I contend that that is exactly what we are in fact seeing. I think again, these processes, they take a long time to actually come about, but when you hit that precipice, that tipping point, then all of a sudden we see the release of the energy, the effect, and we think it was suddenly. When in fact, I think Dr. Albers, I talked to her on Thursday night, she really thinks that maybe the Carrington event of 1864, I believe, may have been the beginning of the first intrusion of this quadrant of space.
Now, you mentioned we may be heading towards an ice age. How far do you think this is going to go? Do you think that's going to be the end result of this reversal?
I think that's where we very well, most likely will end, yes.
Wow. Now, I'm wondering how, you know, what kind of time frame are we looking at? Things have seemed to escalate. Now, they have also these giant cracks growing all over the world. And our worsening weather, I've actually been documenting there's been a hailstorm in every part of the world almost every day, but not just a normal hailstorm, very violent hailstorm. They had one, I think it was in North or South Dakota, the whole interstate, everybody was pulled over because their windshields were shattered. The whole, like, for probably miles.
And, yes.
You know, this is happening every day. And the same thing in Russia, the interstate pulled over cars. It's affecting our weather as well. And I'm just wondering how many more years can we just tolerate this being battered with the heat and the weather? And then, you know, what ultimately could happen?
I think what we're, you know, I think what we're seeing is a accumulation of many different events. Here in Park County, in Colorado, Thursday, and Park County is up at 10,000 feet of elevation, actually had a tornado touchdown. And you don't have tornadoes touching down in mountains, supposedly.
You don't have tornadoes touching down in a lot of places that they've been touching down lately.
So, you know, I have contended this. I told my audience Thursday that where I live, I've lived in the same house, same home for nearly 14 years now, going on 15. And I have a east-west facing house. Front door faces east, the back door and the deck is on the west. And in our family room, I've watched the sun as it tracks across the sky and watched it for a decade. And when I first moved into this house, the sun would set in the west, particularly right after the summer solstice, and go directly down a hall that goes from our family room heading on out to the garage. Doesn't do that anymore. This year, it did not.
Interesting.
So this year, it did not make it that way. And I actually marked the wall. We've moved. Now, this would go in tune with what the Inuit said in 2012. We now have the tribes in Africa that are saying the same thing. We're seeing it around. So, you know, I don't know how they can do it on the magnetic aspect, but then I begin to think about it. If the sun has moved or if the earth has moved, which is probably more accurate, it would then seem to as well that the magnetic poles would begin to catch it. But then we have the event that took place in 2015 and where we had a 2.5 hour magnetic pole flip that lasted. I have documented video in a restaurant when I asked everyone to pull out their cell phones on their compasses that had them on there, we couldn't get one reading that matched anyone else's. So we know something happened in that period of time. And this was, it happened at two times in 2015. One was in March, April. The second one was in October. And it was a very bizarre event. I contend that I think we made our first close pass by of something that came by.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. So,
well, Wayne, the hour just flew by. Do you have anything upcoming that's interesting going on with you?
Well, you know, it's for my over my channel, it's a never ending quest. You know, people on Friday night last night, I showed them all the tools that they can use to monitor real time particles coming in. cosmic ray particles.
I saw that. Yes, that was very interesting.
So, you know, this has a great deal of implications. I'm going to explore this more. I think for the health aspect of this, it's not good for us. I mean, I think about what's happening to our cranial cavities for all of us. I mean, this is really, people are not comprehending what's happening here. This is not good. And it's always, as you know, one lifetime is not enough, Chris. That's all I got to say. Just not enough.
I agree, Wayne. And I want to thank you again for joining us. That was an awesome conversation. We always love having you. We're going to have you back.
I'll have you over on my channel, and we'll catch up and see. You can show what you have. That's some very good footage, by the way. I'd love to show that to Claudia as well.
Yeah, I'll send that over for you. No problem.
Okay, we'll get you on and let her.
Well, I got tons of stuff. Yeah.
good. Well, hey, buddy, I appreciate it. Happy fourth weekend to you, and keep cool if you can.
Oh yeah, you too. And you have a great night.
All right, thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.